John, thank you very much for that. Do keep your Bibles open at page 268, because you'll need that as we talk through this morning. This is part of a sermon series we're doing. Our home groups are following this book as well on the Ruth. And if you're a home group leader and you haven't got your copy, then you urgently need to get your copy from the office. So let's begin with a prayer, shall we? Asking God to help us. Well, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts in all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, every now and then, you know, something sticks more than usual. It's a phrase or a story or a way of living even. I was attending a conference some years ago, and the lead speaker talked about the importance of noticing people. I mean, his adage was basically, woe betide if he passed someone in the church buildings without acknowledging them, or even better, checking in on them. And he took to task a junior pastor once for failing to greet other staff members in the corridors of the church. Well, it spoke to me, the importance of noticing and acknowledging and even taking time with those you are supposed to care for. Now, immediately, okay, I've got this. I've set myself up for a fail, haven't I, immediately now? There have been times and I have failed to do that, failed to notice you, failed to acknowledge you, failed to take time to speak to you. I'm truly sorry. And really, I don't remember those times, but I bet you do. And I'm sorry. I ask for your forgiveness. Please remember, I'm ever a work in progress. But noticing others, acknowledging them, and taking time to speak with them, you know, it's a gift that we offer. It's an easy thing to do, you know. Just look around and say hello to someone. Stop, thank the person near you, or cross the room to them. Walk not on the other side. In this week on the book of Ruth, we're going to look in more detail actually at Boaz, who is introduced to us this week. Last week, Michael helped us greatly to see Ruth as the stranger, the alien, the foreigner, the unwanted person, the one who ought to be rejected. But she seeks sanctuary among God's people. And we were invited through a very moving video, actually, to hear the story of a refugee today in our country, looking for sanctuary, finding such among God's people, his church. Ruth, with her mother-in-law Naomi, they're both widowed, and that's widowed in a world where there's no social security to look after you, come to Bethlehem, and that's Naomi's home village. They've no land, no income, no food. There's nothing in our opening verses that suggests the Bethlehem community have reached out in support. And Ruth offers, you know, to put herself into a dangerous place, the insecurity of seeking crumbs off other people's tables, so to speak. Look at verse 2 on page 268. Ruth says to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. It's a big step, you know. It's a big step from where she had been back in her country of Moab. I mean, a big step down economically and socially. And she's prepared to join the poorest of the poor in the insecure world of following the harvesters. For her, the going is tough, isn't it? For Boaz, the going is good. I see for many of us, often the going is good, isn't it? Or at least, you know, it's fine. The trouble is the going can be so comfortable that we fail to notice those around us. The new person in the office, the new mum at the school gate, the new neighbour in the street. Or perhaps we're comfortable and we just don't notice that awkward person that others also avoid. That mum with the well-worn coat who hastens her children away from the school gate. That colleague at work who always eats lunch alone. We're comfortable. The going is fine. And we're called to be followers of Jesus and fulfillers of his kingdom today, this week, this month, always. You know, perhaps one of the best moments of following Jesus are those, what I call divine moments, often realized in hindsight, when, you know, heaven seems to touch earth, when something happened that just took events in a different direction. Well, it happened for Ruth and Boaz. It happened when much of the country and God's people were often living nothing like they were supposed to be. It happened, we're told, in the first chapter of Ruth and the opening verse, in the days the judges ruled. It happened, as the book of Judges reveals in its very last verse, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. But God was at work. Happened when much of the country and God's people were living not as they were supposed to, but God was at work. You know, there's a beautiful turn of phrase, which I tell you, if you continue as a follower of Jesus, you may well find is something you know yourself. It's sitting in here. It's one of my favorite little turns of phrases in the whole of the Bible, actually. Sitting there in verse 3. Ruth went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz. As it turned out. You know, every time we moved, Sarah and I moved, there was, as it turned out, always a job waiting for Sarah. We moved from Norfolk to Bristol, and as it turned out, we moved from Bristol to Luton, and as it turned out, we moved from Luton to Bedford, and you know, as it turned out, God at work, behind the scenes perhaps. You know, I'm looking forward to that endless reveals of heaven when I query God on, how on earth did that happen? Well, as it turned out, said God. Now, I want to clarify a couple of things before we dive into Boaz, and I love him as a great man. Couple of key aspects of this story. One's been mentioned already, gleaning, and the other comes up in verse 20, the word or the phrase guardian redeemer. First of all, gleaning. God cares for the poor, you know, and he arranged for the rich to help the poor by allowing the poor to pick up leftover grain. Under Moses, God instituted various laws to assist the poor, and one of them was that landowners were not to harvest the full extent of their fields, not to collect in the hard-to-reach areas, not to go back to collect any grain remnants. The Bible references are Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, and Deuteronomy 24, 19 to 22, if you want to write those down. And gleaning, by the way, is not easy work. It is back-breaking to pick up grain here and a stalk there. And steady work, you know, steady work doing that might produce a kilo or so in a day, don't you think? A kilo of just bits here, bits there, bits here, bits there. Enough to make bread that evening. A kilo a day. I tell you that because Ruth goes home from gleaning and weighs out before her mother an ephah of threshed grain. Look at verse 17, an ephah of threshed grain. And note the footnote at the bottom. It tells you, bottom of the page, it tells you that that is about 13 kilos, 13 bags of sugar of grain she gleans when normally you'd make a kilo. That's one sack of flour, isn't it? Gleaning, that's gleaning. The second one is guardian redeemer. Ancient Israel was an agricultural society. Every family had their parcel of land allocated under Moses and Joshua. And that land was given to the family for time without end. And in an agricultural society, land is vital to prosperity. And God intended that no family should fall into multi-generational poverty. Sometimes, however, families did fall on hard times, and the land might be sold, or indeed the family might sell themselves into slavery. But remember, God intended that no family should fall into multi-generational poverty. So God instituted Leviticus chapter 25, the role of guardian redeemer, a close family relative who'd not fallen on hard times was required to step in and help the family struggling. So the guardian redeemer's role would be to purchase the land on behalf of the struggling family and to give it back to them, actually. By the way, interestingly, there's nothing in the Mosaic law that required the marrying of young widows and producing heirs for the redeemed land, suggested, but the course of events of the book of Ruth suggests that's what they thought as well. So there we are, gleaning and guardian reading of the year. And with that clarification in mind, let's briefly look at Ruth before I go to Boaz. All right, I'm holding you back now. Ruth, our godly foreigner, helpfully covered by Michael last week. Suffice to say, this chapter holds the story of the Moabite foreigner. And you know, there are four references to Moab or Moabite in our reading today, just so we really get the point that Ruth is an outsider and a foreigner, an alien and a stranger. Get it? She's a Moabite. And this chapter, though, tells us of Ruth that this stranger, this alien, this foreigner, this outsider, that she's hardworking, though. Look at verse 7, the second half of verse 7. Ruth came into the field, we're told, this is a report about her, and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Hardworking. She's also humble with it. Look at verse 13. She says, "You, Boaz, have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." So Ruth, this godly foreigner, hardworking and humble. But I want to look at Boaz particularly today. I think he speaks to all of us. Boaz, I'm going to call him our man of Chayil. I'll come back to that in a minute. This comfortably off man with servants, fields, harvesters, an overseer, he's an interesting example to us of how the people of God should be and should live. He's a man of chayil, he's a man of protection, and he's a man of generosity. Okay, that word, a man of chayil, let's go there first. Chayil is a Hebrew word. It's slightly multifaceted in its meaning, really, but they all point in sort of a similar direction at the end of the day. Now, in our reading, verse 1 of our chapter describes Boaz as, there you see it, a man of standing. That's a man of chayil. Other translations describe that phrase as a man of wealth and influence, or of riches and importance, or great wealth or prominence. You know, you get the idea. He's not short of a bob or two, and he's influential in Bethlehem. Elsewhere, the same word, chayil, same word, is used to describe noble character or valor in battle, actually. So essentially, it's about a word about character. And it's high praise. Boaz is a man of chayil, of standing, of nobility. Interesting, Boaz describes Ruth the same way. Chapter 3, verse 11, if you want to look it up. High praise indeed. And actually, the elders and the people at the city gate in chapter 4 use the same word, chayil, to describe Boaz's actions in redeeming the land for Ruth and Naomi. High praise indeed. Here is a man of chayil. Chayil isn't just about being acknowledged as of good standing. It's also about living that good standing in ordinary life. Now there's an example for us to think about, huh? Being a person of good standing. He's also a man of protection. You know, in my time here, I have been privileged to watch and welcome the adoption and fostering of a number of children. And those children have been given the beautiful gift of protection. Not in the sense that they were necessarily abused physically or emotionally, but the sense they were brought under the wings of their adoptive parents or foster carers. Protection was given, whether permanently or temporarily, to those in need. And Boaz offers protection to Ruth. You know, it's seen in letting her glean, even though she's a despised Moabite, verse 6. It's seen in him calling her my daughter, verse 8. It's seen in him compellingly inviting her to stay in his fields, also in verse 8. It's seen in him telling her to stay with his women, that's his women servants, not his women wives, by the way, women servants, verse 9. It's seen in telling him his men, telling his men to leave her alone. You know, Me Too has a long, sad history, hasn't it, really? Far too long a history. Verse 9. It's seen in him letting her drink from the water jars, the same verse. It's seen in him sharing the lunchtime picnic with her in verse 14. It's seen in him ensuring that she gleans more than normal, verse 15. Boaz, you see, is a man of protection whose very words and actions live out the prayer of blessing he gives Ruth in verse 12. He says to her, look, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz opens his arms like wings of refuge over Ruth. He offers Ruth protection. Now, there's an example to ponder, isn't it, for us? And he's also a man of generosity. This is sometimes the hardest part of living out our Christian life, isn't it, really? As God has been generous to us, both spiritually and physically, socially, emotionally, we are called to be like him, generous with our time, our resources, and our gifts. And Boaz is a man of generosity. We see this indeed, how he welcomes Ruth to glean in his fields, how he welcomes Ruth to that lunchtime picnic, where we read, did you read that in verse, the end of verse 14? Note, Ruth ate all she wanted and had some left over. She was fully satisfied with her substantial snack, huh? We see this in how Boaz instructs his harvesters to let her gather among the sheaves rather than follow behind the workers. We see it in his instructions to deliberately, he says in verse 16, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. Boaz, you know, that man of generosity, he sends her home that day with a profusely generous amount of gleanings, 13 kilos. Didn't we wear that out earlier? A man of generosity. Now, there's an example for us to ponder. So, as we come to the end, Boaz, you see, look, is known as a man of chayil, of noble character, of godly standing. Boaz is shown as a man of chayil. He's a warm-hearted protector to the poor, the struggling, and the foreigner. Boaz is revealed as a man of chayil, an open-handed, generous sharer of the good things God has given him. And I suppose there's only one more thing to say, really. What sort of person are you? What sort of person are you? How are you known? How do you show your true self? How do your actions reveal the real you? What sort of person are you? Are you indeed a woman of chayil, a man of chayil? Let's pray, shall we? Let's offer our response to God. Let's have a moment of quiet as you just ponder the sort of person God is longing for you to be, a person of chayil. Lord, we thank you for Boaz. We thank you for his faithfulness to you, though he did not know Jesus and all that Jesus has done for us. We thank you that though he lived in troubled times where everyone did what they saw fit, he saw fit to follow you, to be a man of chayil. Send down your Holy Spirit that we would be people of chayil, people who offer that protection and generosity to others and your work, that your kingdom would grow amongst us and you would be exalted. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sue is going to lead us in our prayer as we continue in prayer. Thank you, Sue.